Good morning. It's nice to see you here this morning. And this is a good time to remind ourselves that life is far greater than whatever we have been experiencing. And one of the great lessons of life is discovering that we do not have to go anywhere or do anything in order to make contact with God. There's no need to light any candles, no need to get on our knees and close our eyes. There really is no need for any prayers to recite, nothing to memorize. As a matter of fact, we're even told that we are to take no thought whatsoever for the most basic things in life, what we eat, what we drink, or even how it is that we clothe ourselves. In other words, we're to shut the door to every human sensation and sit in the silence and wait for the revelation of some holy and sacred presence. That's all we need to do. Just be still and listen. And pretty soon we discover that why we do this is because our thoughts are not God's thoughts, nor our ways His ways. Not at all. His thoughts and His ways are far higher than we will ever have. As a matter of fact, we will soon discover inwardly that the Spirit we call God is too pure to behold the human picture. But in stillness, in that deep silence in the midst of all of us, this presence that we call the Spirit of God reveals itself as if to say, I am come into your awareness that you might have life and that you might have it more abundance. This revelation, it's an awareness. An awareness that goes far beyond anything that we have ever been aware of before. And it is the activity that takes place in the awareness of the Spirit that literally becomes the presence that heals the sick and that feeds the hungry and that forgives the sinners. Nothing that either you or I or anyone could ever hope to do. And this morning we have an opportunity to do just this. Turn within and become still, that we may lay hold of this presence that can change our lives for the better. And we can do this very moment by sharing the statement of being that you will find on page 2 of your Sunday program. After the statement, we will have a moment of silence for personal contemplation and meditation. Let us begin. God is all, both invisible and visible. One presence, one mind, one power is all. This one that is all is perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Man is the individualized expression of God and is ever one with this perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Thank you.
this time, I would like to ask the ushers to please come forward for the offertory. Blessings that have been bestowed upon us. The awareness of love. The awareness of peace. For the blessings of life. For these gifts, O most gracious God, we give you thanks. Amen.
Thank you.
I've often said that everybody is in need of something. If not in need, they would not mind having certain things in life. And for these individuals who want answers for a better life, the question inevitably becomes one of, tell me how. How can I restore my health? How can I have peace of mind? How can I be happy, fulfilled, satisfied? The questions are legitimate. And the desire to know is also legitimate. There is something in the soul of each one of us that knows that disease is contrary to life, that lack and limitation is contrary to life, that suffering, that it has no place in life. There is something in the midst of us also that knows that God is not responsible for any of this. That God has not given man the spirit of fear and lack and disappointment, but the spirit of love, as it's written in Scripture, and the spirit of power and the spirit of a sound mind. These desires are never the absence of anything, but an awareness that life is far more than what we are experiencing at the moment. So the question then becomes, how can we get there? What is it that we have to do to begin this path, this journey to a better life? Well, there is a word and there is a practice that changes things for the better. And the word and the practice is prayer. Life is consistently providing perfect everything for all of us. And prayer is the key that opens the door to our good. As a matter of fact, man is a praying creature. He has prayed all of his life, but he doesn't know it. As children, we were all taught how to pray, or so we believed. We were given words to memorize, to recite, and to repeat daily, if not several times a day, as if the words had the power to change things for the better. And yet, it has taken us quite a while to learn, to discover, some of us anyhow, that no matter how sincere our prayers were, and no matter how noble and virtuous our desire for answers were, not only for ourselves, but for others, no matter how much we prayed, nothing ever happened. And the reason was very basic. Most of our prayers have been negative. We have been praying for our problems and about our problems. Seldom have we ever prayed for answers. We have prayed about those things that are wrong in our lives and in the lives of those whom we know, rather than to open ourselves for the presence of answered prayer. As a matter of fact, the very people that pray for love, peace, and happiness are for the most part filled with fear and hurt and loneliness. And this is their state of mind when they pray. We have prayed for our misery while filled with our misery, rather than magnifying and abiding in the very thing that we wish to have. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is that if we are to benefit from prayer, then we better examine and discover what prayer really is. Prayer in divine science at a very most basic level. Now we're going back to the basics of our teaching. And I do believe that it is somehow important that we every now and then return and review and remind ourselves what divine science is all about. And what prayer in divine science is all about. Prayer in divine science
It's not the time that we bow our heads and say, "Dear God, please help me." This is not prayer. In divine science, there really is no such thing as a prayer of supplication. Rather, and this can be very uncomfortable for many people, prayer involves every single moment of our lives. At all times, we are in a state of prayer. Because prayer involves every thought and every feeling we have throughout any given day. Literally, prayer is the sum total of our emotional thoughts and beliefs. And the moment we begin to accept this definition of prayer, we will begin to understand that we are all demonstrating what we have been praying for. Not what we say when we bow our heads and get on our knees, but what we think with feeling throughout any and every given day. I've often used the illustration that if we could develop two columns of every thought and every feeling we have and be able to do this day after day and week after week and month after month, we would eventually see that our environment is in perfect harmony with what we have been feeling, not only day after day, but God knows for how many years. Basic metaphysics will tell you this. And especially if you have been attending our services for any length of time, you will know the law. As within, so without. As in mind, so in manifestation. As it's written in Scripture, whatsoever it is that we sow, that is what we shall reap. Every so-called happening or circumstance or situation or condition in our lives simply confirm that something has preceded that event. In other words, it has been preceded by something that has been accepted in consciousness. But I say to you this morning, that whatever it is that we begin to accept, not only accept, but put into practice, especially the teachings of divine science, you will discover that you are no longer a victim, but rather you will begin to assert and manifest the true nature of your being as the sons and daughters of God Himself. Dominion. Man has been given dominion. But dominion in the outer simply is the result of dominion in the inner. That day that we choose to take charge of our thoughts, we begin to take charge of our lives. Now, this is basic divine science. The kingdom of God is within you. You've heard this all of your lives, just about, from every church. Jesus said the kingdom of God is not in some mountain, holy mountain, or holy temple. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom is not a place. No surgeon has ever found it inside of anybody. It is a state of mind. It is an awareness. Let me share with you what dominion really is. It is a state of mind that we can take into any environment. And the environment into which we find ourselves will change according to our consciousness. And you can prove this in your lives. Don't be like a chameleon and take on the quality of the environment, but rather let the environment take the quality of your consciousness. Why does this happen? Because the outer is effect. It's always the result of someone's consciousness. There's a prolific author, divine science minister, by the name of Emmett Fox, who wrote a little booklet called Life is Consciousness. And so it is. I do believe that the realization that we are not victims of anyone or anything, but simply ignorant of a law, is such a personal relief. Because from that day on, it is you and I who choose what life is going to be for us. In basic English, God in mind is God in manifestation. The power that changes everything in our lives for the better is constantly knocking at the door of our consciousness as if to say, I am come. I am with you. Always. Simply waiting for our recognition. It is saying, turn to me. Come. Ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will surround you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I will bless. I will heal. That's what the story of the prodigal son is all about. It's a return to that source out of which you and I had our origin. Now, I'm going to assume that many of you have already discovered that there are many different words that refer to God. And for some people, that can be a little bit confusing, because it appears to divide God into many different little bits and pieces. Emmanuel, which simply means God with you and in you. Savior, you know what that word indicates. Comforter, it is the comforter that comes that will teach you all things. The Father within, the Christ, truth, many names for the one God. As an example, a woman can be a doctor. She can be president of some organization. She can be a coach, a wife, a mother. But it's still the same woman, just different facets of that woman. And so it is with God. So when you come across the word Christ, just remember that it is just another name for the Lord God in the midst of you. The Christ is not the name of an individual, a man, who came to this world 2,000 years ago and then left. Rather, the Christ is the activity that is with you and in you and all about you. Truth, the Spirit of God, Emmanuel, is not something you read in books, and it's not something that you hear from pulpits on Sundays. Rather, it is your conscious awareness of a presence that reveals itself from within the deep silence in the midst of you. As if to say, and it is saying it constantly, be still, my beloved. Be still and know that I am God. This is that presence that Jesus referred to as the Father within that doeth the works, that heals the sick, that supplies, that restores, that blesses. So whenever it is that you come across the name of Emmanuel in the Old Testament, it simply means God with you and in you. Or even the phrase the Lord God, as the Lord God in the midst of thee, is mighty. They all mean the same thing. God with you and in you. And this, my friends, is the only demonstration that any of us ever need to make. This is the only answered prayer we all ever need to experience. Because for as long as we keep shouting and shooting our prayers all over the place, and your thoughts and your fears and your desires and your needs, as long as you keep telling your, the only conversation so many people have is simply relate what is wrong in their lives, and they talk to their family members, their loved ones, their neighbors, their colleagues at work. Oh, you know what I'm going through? People do this in the belief that the more they shout and the louder they shout, the better it is that God may just happen to hear what you're saying. But all we're doing is wasting our time and our efforts. Jesus was very specific. He taught that the place where we make contact with God was within the individual, within you. Heaven is within each one of us. Heaven is that silence that is in the deep center of our being. This silence, this heaven, is that realm from where every blessing comes. This is what charges and recharges our batteries, our energies. Our so-called Savior is not something that has come to us from out somewhere in the clouds in some grand and spectacular manner, as I like to say, with the New York Philharmonic playing in the background. That's not the case at all. Our Savior is here and now. You brought it with you when you came to this world. What did Paul tell us? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? That the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Obviously, we don't believe that. Many people do not. And I would like to believe that because of teachings like divine science, we begin to reevaluate what we really believe concerning prayer. God created man, a living soul, long before he ever had a physical body. And it is the soul, that which is made in the image and likeness of God himself, that discovers that it can move into any environment, and no matter how negative, harmonize everything in that environment. There is nothing written anywhere in Scripture that Jesus said that we are to run away from our problems, or that we are supposed to join a particular organization, or isolate ourselves in some island in the middle of the ocean. He didn't say this at all. What he did say was that we can change anything in life. Not by telling others how to live, but by becoming an example. By allowing our realization of God to go before us as the peace that others feel, as the strength that others discover, as the understanding that others get. We ourselves are to be the inspiration that lifts others to a place where they haven't been before. All of this merely incidental to a consciousness of God. Keep in mind, and this is so basic to the teachings of divine science, before anything can change in the outer, the change takes place first in someone's consciousness. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of heaven, a consciousness of truth, and all things shall be added unto you. That's the law. First within, then without. As long as you and I are involved, emotionally involved in anything that is negative, nothing is going to change. Because we keep feeding it with our emotional thoughts. The only reason why certain situations or conditions continue to last for as long as they do is because we keep feeding them. Many of these situations and conditions involve our prayer life. And it is here that many of us choose to tell God how terrible everything is. But haven't you heard the saying? That if you do not want stray cats around your house, Stop feeding them. You don't want raccoons around your house. Stop feeding them. Why keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result? It's not going to happen. Divine scientists are not blind. We all see problems out here in the world. Not only in the world, but in our immediate environment. And how much immediate can that be if it's the physical body? But we no longer run scared the way we used to. Months ago, years ago. We no longer have to keep the light on at night as we did when we were children. Because we are beginning to discover that the power over which there is no other power is right where we are. And that, my friends, is progress. Simply knowing this is progress. The next step is living it. And what happens then is that all sorts of little things begin to appear in our lives that are positive and good and in abundance. It's all the result of an unfolding consciousness. Through the conscious awareness that God and I are one. And prayer is the means through which we establish not only union, but communion with God. It is our Redeemer, our Savior, by whatever name, that keeps us from sin. And regardless of what you and I were taught as children, sin is not necessarily behavior, a behavioral pattern. Sin is ignorance. That's all it is. Sin is ignorance that the Father and I are one. They are human beliefs that have been handed down from generations. Beliefs and opinions that continue to masquerade as a law. And the one thing that we discover as we begin to change our lives for the better is that thoughts appear to become situations and conditions and circumstances, but it is not a single thought that does anything at all, but a consistent pattern of thinking that eventually establishes a state of mind. And these patterns of thoughts, we call them attitudes, moods. You know people who are moody. They come into the office or into your neighborhood. You stay away from them because you know it's not a good time to start up a conversation with these individuals. These patterns of thought we call perceptions, mindsets, temperaments, prejudices, inclinations. There are many words to explain states of mind. And it is the sum total of these mental qualities collectively that we call consciousness. Which is where the master teacher said, if I be lifted up in consciousness, I will draw anything and everything that is consistent with that consciousness. Let me give you a very personal experience. It's an illustration. I live out in the country in Texas. A lot of you know that. Don't live in a town. I don't live in a village. Much forget about a city. I live out in the country. Surrounded by mesquite trees and cedar trees, cactus. And there's plenty of wildlife. Raccoons, as I just mentioned a while ago, deer, turkeys, wild hogs, javelinas, scorpions, coyotes, rattlesnakes. This is Texas we're talking about. A rattlesnake is not going to do a thing to you as long as you leave it alone. In the very same way, as I just said a minute ago, we are not blind. We see all kinds of negative things going on all around us. Not only in the world and in our country, but in our neighborhoods. The world is full of rattlesnakes. And they come in different shapes and sizes and colors. And they all have different names. We call some of them John, some of them Robert, some of them William, some of them Helen, Mary,
Josie. And they also have other names. Allergies, cancer, arthritis. There are rattlesnakes all over the world. So what do you do with a rattlesnake? You don't touch it. You leave it alone. And they will leave you alone. There is absolutely no reason why in the world we ever need to get involved with a rattlesnake. Just see it for what it is. By whatever name, it is the result, the outpicturing of someone's consciousness. Why make it your own? Healing is never a special act on the part of God. Rather, it is a realization that takes place in the deep recesses of our own minds. Health is not something that comes to us. Don't pray for health. It's already here. It's all wrapped up in the word God. Get God and you get health. Get God, you get supply. Get God, you get peace of mind and harmony in the home. Qualities that are here and now. Not unlike the sun. The sun appears to rise in the morning and it sets in the evening. Or so it seems. But it really doesn't. The sun simply is. And the sun simply shines. And so is God. Even when we don't see the sun is shining. God is constantly working on our behalf. The way the sun is constantly shining. Nona Brooks, one of the founders of Divine Science, writes in one of her books, "I do not believe in instantaneous healings." And the reason she said it is that all healing is preceded by a state of consciousness long before we see the evidence out here in the flesh. People have always wondered why it is that people who never go to church always seem to have health and peace of mind and abundance. They always seem to be in a state of healing. Well, let me tell you that no church has a monopoly on healings or on God. It's all a matter of individual consciousness. It is so easy for people in process to look for someone or something to blame for their disappointments, for their suffering. The husband is very convenient to blame, for those of you that are married. And the wife is very convenient to blame. Work, children, the weather. The list is endless. In fact, the founder of our teaching once said, "You and I are responsible for our every condition." I know many people don't like to hear that. Oh, they will say, "If it weren't for my husband, I wouldn't be in this situation." And the husband says the same thing about the wife. What this means is that consciousness is all we have to work with. Don't work with people. That never works. And what about the weather? Forget about it. You have no control over it, apparently. It has nothing to do with the food you eat, nor with the family into which you were born. So what's the answer? It is written, "If any man or woman be in Christ, they become new creatures. All the things are passed away, the aches, the hurts, the disappointments, and everything becomes fresh and new." It's like getting up in the morning and seeing the chalkboard in front of you with nothing written on it. And yet the first thought that enters your mind, you put it down on the chalkboard. Or another thought enters your mind, you put it down on the chalkboard. And before you get out of bed, you're going to see what kind of a day you're going to have. If we could only take what truth has been shared with you this morning
And begin to apply it to everything that comes your way throughout the week. You and I have the promise that I will heal, that I will restore, and that I will bless. I say to you this morning, know the truth. Feel the truth. And the truth will set you free. So we begin putting this lesson into practice right now. Just relax your bodies. Place it in such a position that it's not going to call attention to itself. And as you sit here, know that there is nothing to fear. Nothing at all to fear. Because God is here. Simply waiting for you to turn to it. Waiting for you to find yourself in that holy temple. Where your answers are waiting for you. Turn to this temple. It is a silence where nothing of the world can enter. And as you find yourself in this silence, listen to the presence that is saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Turn to me, as I am already turning to you. Just be still, my beloved. Just be still. Be still. For answered prayer, O most gracious God, we give you thanks. And so it is that the Lord God in the midst of you is blessing you and keeping you. Even now it is shining its love unto you and its graces unto you as he lifts your consciousness and gives you